And everyone said, amen. 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 Open your Bibles to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. And we're continuing the series that we began several weeks ago in preparation for the election. And it's based off of an assignment that the Lord gave to Brother Copeland to give to me back in 2012 as we were preparing for the elections back then. And the Lord spoke through Brother Copeland and said, George, you need to take the platforms, the party platforms, and preach on them. You need to compare the platforms to the Word of God and what the Word of God has to say. And so that's what we're doing. That's what we're talking about. And it's so important to study these platforms for several reasons. One, because these platforms identify where these parties stand, what they believe. And so often people don't read these. They don't understand what is actually being said and what is being declared. And these, we're able, by looking at these, to declare which platform aligns more with the Word of God. That's what we're looking for. Because the living, breathing Word of God is our platform in the kingdom of heaven. The things that we see here, that we believe, we need to see this overlaid on our country. And that's why it's so important to do this. People have said before that people don't pay attention. Politicians don't pay attention to the platforms. Well, maybe at one time they didn't, but they're doing it now. And it's very evident in reading both of these platforms that they are passionate about what they believe and where they stand. There is a great divide between the two. Unless you've read them, you've not seen yet what that divide looks like. But we have to pay attention to the platforms because, first of all, God knows what is in those platforms. As I've told you before, He's read them already. He knows what is in the platforms. And on top of that, He'll hold us accountable for it. That's why this is so serious. In this election that's coming up, it's a game changer. It really is. Well, secondly, these were written by people, representatives, all over our country. And the fact that they represent every state in the union, and from the abundance of their hearts, the parties speak. They've written down what they believe. And thirdly, politicians will be making their decisions. They'll make decisions on our behalf based on the platform that they embrace and the platform that they stand on. The platform is the driving agenda for all legislation. And it is what they are going to push to accomplish over the next 4 years. And the serious implications of what is beyond that. What things are going to change? What things will take place depending on which party is in there? We took time last week looking in detail at the party platforms regarding the topic of abortion. And we found out where the party platform stood. There's one that is for abortion. There's one that is against abortion. And we found very clearly that the Word of God tells us that God is against abortion. He's for life. So we looked at that last week. This week, we want to look at something very important to us. And oftentimes people don't realize how important a topic this is. But we're looking at what the two-party platforms and where they stand on the support of Israel. How important that is to all of us. The parties, where they stand in their support for Israel. So let's take a look at them. First of all, where does the Democratic Party stand on supporting Israel? These are direct quotes from the party platforms. Democrats believe a strong, secure, and democratic Israel is vital to the interests of the United States. Our commitment to Israel's security, its qualitative military edge, its right to defend itself, and the 2016 Memorandum of Understanding is ironclad. Democrats recognize the worth of every Israeli and every Palestinian. That is why we will work to help to bring an end to a conflict that has brought so much pain to so many. We support a negotiated two-state solution that ensures Israel's future as a Jewish and democratic state with recognized borders and upholds the right of Palestinians to live in freedom and security in a viable state of their own. That is where the first red flag is. When you're talking about Israel and you're talking about a two-state solution and you're talking about dividing up the land, that's serious. That is serious business to God. Democrats oppose any unilateral steps by either side, including annexation, that undermine prospects of two states. Democrats will continue to stand against incitement and terror. We oppose settlement expansion. So it's that two-state solution that keeps popping up. It just seems like every administration wants to do the two-step solution. I almost said the two-step dance, but the two-step state solution to where they are again trying to divide up the land. Well, let's look at the Republican Party and what their stand is on supporting Israel. And again, I'm presenting this to you. I present, you decide. It says, like the United States of America, the modern state of Israel is a country born from the aspiration for freedom and stands out among the nations as a beacon of democracy and humility. Beyond our mutual strategic interests, Israel is likewise an exceptional country that shares our most essential values. It is the only country in the Middle East where freedom of speech and freedom of religion are found. Therefore, support for Israel is an expression of Americanism, and that is the responsibility of our government to advance policies that reflect America's strong desire for a relationship with no daylight between America and Israel. We recognize Jerusalem as the eternal and indivisible capital of the Jewish state and call for the American embassy to be moved there in the fulfillment of U.S. law. Well, as we all know, on May 14, 2018, the United States officially opened their embassy in Jerusalem. And take note, that was 70 years to the day that President Harry Truman recognized the state of Israel. America was the first country to do so. Come on, give God praise for that. Hallelujah. I want to mention something here before I go on, and that is, all of these notes are going to be available online. Those of you who are pastors, you may be wanting to minister this to your congregations. You might want to take this to your families. All of these notes in their entirety are available to you, or will be available to you online. Okay, let's continue. We reaffirm America's commitment to Israel's security and will ensure that Israel maintains a qualitative military edge over any and all adversaries. We support Israel's right, an obligation to defend itself against terror attacks upon its people and against alternative forms of warfare upon it legally, economically, culturally, and otherwise. Excuse me. We reject the false notion that Israel is an occupier and specifically recognize that the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement, BDS, is anti-Semitic in nature and seeks to destroy Israel. Therefore, we call for effective legislation to thwart actions that are intended to limit commercial relations with Israel or persons or entities doing business in Israel or in Israeli-controlled territories in a discriminatory manner. Now, the BDS movement really simply defined boycotting Israeli goods, divesting from companies that provide equipment to Israeli military, and urging countries to slap sanctions on Israel. The movement also inspires demonstrations at Israeli cultural events all over the world. It is a plan to destroy Israel. As of 2020, 32 state legislatures have passed bills similar to the Israeli Anti-Boycott Act, which is still in Congress. That's why it is so important for us to vote in local elections, state elections, to change things like this. It's stuck in Congress and it needs to be moved. But in the meantime, like I said, 32 state legislatures have passed bills similar to the Israel Anti-Boycott Act that still lies in Congress. Finally, the United States seeks to assist in the establishment of comprehensive and lasting peace in the Middle East to be negotiated among those living in the region. We oppose any measures intended to impose an agreement or to dictate borders or other terms, and we call for the immediate termination of all U.S. funding of any entity that attempts to do so. Our party is proud to stand with Israel now and always. So what is being said here is we oppose any measures intended to impose an agreement or to dictate borders or other terms, calling for the termination of U.S. funding of any entity that attempts to do so. So what is being said here in this platform is it's not talking about the two-state solution. It's not talking about dividing up the land. And that really is the major difference between the two. That one fact, among many others, but that's a primary major one. So we've looked at the two platforms. What does the Bible say? What does God say about Israel? I'll give you five scriptures. You can write them down. Genesis 12, verse 3. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. So it's very clear here that any nation that will bless Israel, this is God talking, this is God speaking. Any nation that will bless Israel, you will be blessed. Any nation that will curse Israel, you will be cursed. And it comes right down to any individual, any group of believers or non-believers, any groups that will bless Israel will be blessed. And those that don't will be cursed. That's clear. That is a clear word. And we'll see in just a moment why it is not a blessing to divide up the land. Why it does a country no good to go in there and try to negotiate land for peace. It has never worked. It never will work. It has not worked. And it says in Genesis 17:7, I will establish my covenant as an everlasting. Everlasting means forever. Everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come. To be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and to your descendants after you, and I will be their God. So land is spoken of here, the land and its borders. Isaiah 41, verses 11 and 12. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. And we've seen it over and over and over again in Israel. We have seen God intervene in the midst of battles, in the midst of all of the nations that have tried to shut down Israel. You'd think they'd learn. You'd think they'd figure it out. It is futile to try to destroy Israel. Because if you're trying to destroy Israel, you are trying to destroy God. And that is impossible to do. Zechariah 2:8, Amplified Translation. For thus says the Lord of hosts, after his glory has sent me his messenger to the nations who plundered you. For he who touches you touches the apple or the pupil of his eye. Have you ever had a child stick their finger in your eye? It happened to me one time. That is not very comfortable. That is not very enjoyable. It really does hurt. And think about what it's saying here. He who touches, this is God speaking. He who touches you, Israel, touches the apple of my eye, the pupil of my eye. And you can also look at the terminology of the apple of his eye. That child is the apple of his eye. He cares for his people and he cares for the land. In Joel chapter 3, verse 2, I will gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. And there will I deal with and execute judgment upon them for their treatment of my people and of my heritage Israel, whom they've scattered among the nations and because they have divided my land. Very simply put, there is two criteria by which God judges any nation. Number one, the way they treat the people of Israel. Number two, what they do about dividing the land. And again, we've seen it over and over and over. Whenever a nation tries to attack, whether it is a military attack or an economic attack or some kind of an attack, it always comes back on them. And I want to give you an example of something that took place in the United States of America. Something that happened that directly connected to what was going on in Israel and what the State Department was doing. What they do, we give Israel money, lots of money. And so often in whatever administration it is, they will pressure them to tell them what to do. This is how you will be. This is how it will be. And there's one particular instance that I want to bring to you. There is a direct connection between the U.S. Middle East policy decisions and catastrophic events. There's a book that I would recommend to you by William Koenig. It's called Eye to Eye, Facing the Consequences of Dividing Israel. I have read that book. I've taught about that book. And it makes so much sense of when a nation tries to attack Israel. Listen to this. It's amazing. August 22nd, 2005. President Bush was in Salt Lake City. He was honoring the veterans of foreign wars at the National Convention. August 22nd, 2005. Remember that date. He said, "In the heart of the Middle East, a hopeful story is unfolding. After decades of shattered promises and stolen lives, peace is within reach in the Holy Land. The Palestinian people have expressed their desire for sovereignty and peace in free and fair elections. This past week, Prime Minister Sharon and the Israeli people took a courageous and painful step by beginning to remove settlements in Gaza and parts of the West Bank. The Israeli disengagement is an historic event that reflects the bold leadership of Prime Minister Sharon. We are providing $50 million in direct assistance to the Palestinians for new housing and infrastructure projects in Gaza." That eviction took place. Jewish homes, Jewish families. Imagine that in your own town. Imagine that in your own city. Those who live in Saginaw, think about what it would be like for you to be evicted from your home. You pack your belongings and you move back over here, and everything now belongs to the Palestinians. Palestinians moving into your homes, taking whatever is there. That would be rough. That would be a very difficult thing to imagine. And that's what was taking place. And the $50 million that was given to the Palestinians, you can trace that money and more. More money that has been given to the Palestinians in Gaza have been used for attacks on Israel, have been used to destroy Israel, have been used to build terror tunnels that go through to kill people in Israel. So we see that that money has not been well spent. It hasn't been used for housing and infrastructure. Israel's disengagement and evacuation and eviction was from August 17th through Tuesday, the 23rd of August. Tuesday, the 23rd of August, the evictions ended. On Tuesday afternoon, that same day, Tropical Depression 12 formed. By 11 o'clock on Wednesday, August 24th, the newly formed Tropical Depression was upgraded to a tropical storm. By 5 p.m. on Thursday, August 25th, Tropical Storm Katrina became Hurricane Katrina. On Friday, August 26th, Hurricane Katrina hit southeast Florida. By Monday, the 29th, Katrina had become a fierce and enormous Category 4 hurricane that hit Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, devastating the city of New Orleans. It's now being called the largest natural disaster in U.S. history. Going back a week, Wednesday, August 17th, Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon authorized the mandatory evacuation of residents refusing to evacuate Gaza, sending in the military to do so. Going ahead, September 7th, Wednesday, New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin ordered the mandatory evacuation of the crippled Crescent City. Soldiers had to force out some of the holdouts. Israeli settlers stated that the Gaza and Samaria evictions will go down as the worst abandonment of Jews in the history and the largest forced evacuation in Israel's history. Katrina has resulted in the largest mass migration and evacuation in U.S. history. 9,000 Israelis were evicted by their government. 1 million Americans were evicted by Hurricane Katrina. At the same time that Israelis were going homeless in the Gaza Strip, Americans were going homeless in the United States. Do you see the connection? Do you see the connection? And it's been over and over and over and over again. The current governing authority over the Gaza Strip is Hamas. And who is Hamas? They are a terrorist organization who refuse to recognize the state of Israel and whose charter calls for the total destruction of Israel. So when you hear the words two-state solution, when you hear about dividing the land, it's something that you and I need to stand against. We're beginning to hear bits and pieces of it from Washington right now. The President of the United States invoked the blessing on America by moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And now, you and I need to watch very, very carefully what is coming out of Washington that reeks of two-state solution and dividing the land. You and I, if we hear about that, we will throw a fit. Democrats or Republicans, watch out. Don't you touch the apple of God's eye. That's a warning from God Himself. That's a warning from Pastor George and Eagle Mountain International Church and Kenneth Copeland Ministries. I can't tell you how serious this is and the consequences that we would face because of it. We won't let it happen. We will not let it happen. And I am so thankful right now there are people of influence who have access to the president, who are laying out before him these very things that I'm talking to you about today. The same scriptures, the same stories. And so that's why it's so important in these political platforms. Where do they stand? Where Israel is concerned. Where do we stand? Where does Kenneth Copeland Ministries stand? Where does Eagle Mountain International Church, Kenneth Copeland Bible College stand where Israel is concerned? Well, you need to know that we stand for Israel 100%. Among many other things that you hear about in just a moment, Pastor Terry and I have been associated with Christians United for Israel, Pastor John Hagee's organization, since before its inception. The very meeting where John Hagee called 300 ministers together in San Antonio and presented to him an organization that would support Israel, that would help Israel, that would stand by Israel. And we were there when it took place. And now your pastors are the state directors for Christians United for Israel and have a great part to do in what's happening with that organization. We've partnered with Billy Brim, partnered with McDowell and the teaching center there. And we are standing for Israel. And we are standing for that land to not be divided. We are standing for not having a two-state solution, and we are seeing the will of God fulfilled in Israel, and the relationships that are developing with the Jewish communities around us have been outstanding. So really, there are two women of God in this church who are like the manifestation of Deborah in the Bible, who stand for Israel with all of their hearts. And the first one is why my wife, Pastor Terry, and the other one is our Jewish liaison, Julie Cerrone. So give them a great hand as they come.
We've run out of these books in the bookstore, but I want to show you what he mentioned about Katrina. This book documents, in actually in brief form, 127 catastrophes in the United States following 127 actions against Israel, as far as the Word of God is concerned. Just exactly an action here, a response, an action, a response. So it, lest anyone should say, well, Katrina was just a coincidence. There's not even a word coincidence in Hebrew. And so I wanted you to see that. And then little Sister Billy's little books on judgment of the nations and God's promise. And these little books are nothing but scriptures, one right after the other. So the five that Pastor George read to you today, that's barely scratching the surface due to time for what the Bible has to say about this matter. So praise the Lord. Julie is our liaison to our Israeli community, both here and abroad, and also to Israel. Her daughter lives there, as many of you know, and she does a lot of work going back and forth and reaching out, and God has given us great favor where that is concerned. We wanted to talk to you a little bit today about what you are doing for Israel through your donations to Israel, just the boxes that are in the lobby that says Israel Fund, or you can go online, and the things you've done over the years that have contributed to our being able to support Israel in a big way. You want to talk sure. to them?
One of the places we've supported for years is the Western Galilee Medical Center. It's a hospital that's on the border with Lebanon, and they had three COVID units. They're just opening a fourth one. So they've been battling COVID-19. But they've also, over the last several years, been taking in Syrians who've been wounded or injured in Syria during their civil war.
So many of the Syrian refugees are wounded that are there. They actually would risk their lives coming across the border to Israel, not because of the Israelis, but their own people would kill them for going to Israel. Many times their families, though, know that if they can get them into Israel, they'll be okay. And so they will wrap them perhaps in a rug or a blanket and dump them at the border for the Israelis to pick them up and to get them into the hospital to treat them, get them all better, and then Israel, the medical center, they arrange to sneak them back into their areas so that people don't know that they ever came across the Israeli border.
Yeah.
Quite something.
I'm thinking about when we were there last, we met a woman from Syria.
Yes.
Who they told her when Assad bombed his own people, her leg was seriously injured, and they told her, if you go to Jordan, you'll lose your leg. If you go to Israel, they'll save it. And so she made the decision to come into Israel, and the day that we met her was the first day she'd walked in 6 months, and they were getting ready to give her her paperwork to go back to her family in Syria.
Right. It's amazing what they do. And of course, she was shocked because they're all told how horrible the Israelis are. So you have to remember whose side you're on when you start talking about those awful Israelis and those awful Jews. Those same voices are the ones that are killing and bombing their own people, gassing their own people, and seek to destroy our people as well. So then we have the Haifa Home for Holocaust Survivors.
There's an assisted living facility in Haifa, Israel, where we're working with the ICEJ, the Christian Embassy in Jerusalem, to provide help and care for Holocaust survivors that are still living. Many of them live below the poverty line, and they wanted to make sure that these people received hot meals, that they have a community of people to live in, and that they're well cared for.
Some of them... It would just grieve your heart to think that they survived the Holocaust and have to live in abject poverty because the government could only do so much. There were so many of them. So we're blessed to be a part. Then we have the City of David. What is the City of David? It's there in Jerusalem, but it was uncovered until just not too many years ago. Began to discover through archaeology the City of David. And this was just opened up just some months back. We were privileged to go under the ground where they have discovered this highway, this walkway. That's just a small portion of it. This is the actual road between the Pool of Siloam and the Temple Mount, where the offerings and the altar was. This would have been the area where Jesus would have stood and said, "Come unto me, and I will give you living water." So think about it. This is the Pool of Siloam and where the waters flowed. So this is an amazing discovery. But along with that come all the other archaeological discoveries that are found. It's very important because it speaks to the world who deny that the land belongs to Israel, who deny any existence of King David or any of the kings of the Bible. And so this is so, so, so important as a testimony to the world that the reality and the truth of the Word of God. During this COVID shutdown, their funds have dried, I want to say completely dried up, but has really shriveled. And the work really needs to go on as well as helping people stay employed. And so our support to the City of David helps to keep that work continuing.
And the next president really determines how, it's crazy that it's like this, but it determines how much work and continued excavation can actually happen at the City of David. So they're feverishly working because they don't know what's going to happen in November and are concerned that somebody could get in the White House that would tell them, stop the excavation.
Because that's what's happened in the previous administration. Through the actions of the State Department, people were not allowed. When you call them settlements, it sounds like tents and camping out. It's beautiful cities. It's beautiful towns and villages of homes. The second largest university in Israel is in one of those settlements. Cancer research all kinds of hospitals and things that where they have welcomed outside the Jewish community to come. It's very often rejected, that offer. But those settlements are not just little out camps, but they are communities and farms and ranches and beautiful. So when they disengaged out of Gaza, they ruined whole industries in Israel and turned it over to Hamas for terrorist bases.
One of the other places we have been supporting for years also is Holy Land Missions in Bethlehem. It's Pastor Stephen Curry. Some of you remember he spoke here a few years ago. What makes him stand out from the other pastors in Bethlehem is that he is an Arab Christian man who is pro-Israel. He and his father they came out of the Greek Orthodox Church. They started reading the Bible and realized, wait a minute, we're on the wrong side of this. And so they started to begin to preach about supporting and supporting Israel and loving the Jews, which you can imagine didn't make them so popular.
No, they've been persecuted, beat, had family members killed. Their church members have been persecuted and suffered a lot of physical persecution and outcast in their community. And yet they stand. Their church stands, the pastor stand, their outreach stands. And so this support that we give them, they are taking food and supplies to the poor, but not only the poor in their church, but also to at-risk Muslims. Why don't you tell them about that?
So they feed the poor Christians in Bethlehem, but they also identified that there were Muslims who were at risk of being kind of pulled in by the Palestinian Authority and sort of, we'll pay you, we'll help you if you will go to this, create a riot here or get involved in terrorism.
Yes, and the supreme price is if you will offer one of your children to be a suicide bomber. Then we can give you thousands of dollars and we'll pay you for the rest of your life.
So they're feeding these families in the name of the Lord, and they're starting to think, our God isn't supplying for us, doesn't care about us, and isn't coming here to our doorstep, but the Christians and their God is.
So that's really, that's one of the most important works that we can support.
We also support Ronnie Levy, has a charity called Israel Layad. He is providing Shabbat meals to the hungry and the elderly. And also, he's working with at-risk Ethiopian youth. Now,
the Ethiopian Jews.
Yes.
Right.
Ethiopian Jews, when they make Aliyah and they come back to Israel, they're coming from like the middle of Africa, and some of them don't even know what a toothbrush is. So when they land in Israel, there's quite a big cultural gap. And these youth sometimes need some extra help learning how to use a computer, just being given opportunities that will help them succeed.
So that's a really big thing that we support. The fire trailers that you may remember that we sponsored a year ago, is especially coming over the borders, the fire kites was a big one. So the kites would send over into agricultural areas of Israel. The agricultural lands of Israel, just like the word says that they have turned the desert into a garden. So they are not only feeding Israel and their own nation, but they're feeding nations around them and a lot of Europe. A lot of food goes in, fruits and vegetables, flowers go into to Europe from Israel. And so these kites would come on over into these agricultural areas and explode and set the fields on fire. A lot of those fields are in hard to get to areas, not a fire truck available. And so you purchase these fire trailers that we 11 of them that help save these fields. So they were able to get these fire trailers right out into the field. They hook up behind a pickup, something like that, where they can get out there quickly and put the fires out. But since the COVID outbreak there, they have converted those fire trailers when necessary to spray disinfectant on playgrounds and public areas to protect the children and the public in those communities. So you did that. So there are many other smaller things that we do over time and over the years as we let the Lord lead us, because as in any place, any nation, there are so many things that can be done there as well as in blessing the Jewish people here locally. But the biggest one that's been on my heart that I felt that we were supposed to connect with, and I've been watching for the opportunity, is to helping Jews make Aliyah. What is Aliyah? That is when people come, when they go home, when they go to Israel to live. And it means to go up. It doesn't mean whether you're coming, even if you're coming from the very highest mountain on the planet, to go to Israel, to go to Jerusalem, is still to ascend, to go up, because it is a spiritual, a higher spiritual place than any other place on earth, as the Bible indicates. And so to make Aliyah is a big thing. When I started going to France some years ago, it was about 10 or so years ago, I'm speaking there in Nice, France, a prayer conference with Pastor Marie. Then I noticed that some of the messages would be about Israel that I would speak. And my most impactful, strong word for what the Bible says about blessing Israel and their right to the land would happen there in France. And I wondered about that. It seemed kind of odd to me that in the prayer conference, that's how I would be led to speak. And who would know that one of the largest outbreaks of anti-Semitism in Europe would really stir and burn in France, and that they would be among the first to experience hatred and persecution and abuse to the point to where it wouldn't be safe for them to walk on the streets. And so when that began to happen, of course, Israel began to work to make a way for them. You don't just get on a plane and go back to Israel and become a citizen. There's process there. But also, if you could imagine uprooting your way of life and your language, your career, your life. Not everything just automatically transfers in another nation, even if you have some financial means, but so many of them don't, to make that kind of trip with large families and to come back to go from one country to another. So Aliyah is where they not only transport them from a nation like Ethiopia or Russia, but now France, and bring them into Israel, but help them to assimilate into the country. Help them get acquainted. Help them through the process in that first year of life, learning the language, learning the culture, learning how to assimilate into Israel. So that's been on my heart. I knew it was a mission from God for us, and we have been waiting and waiting for the right opportunity, the right connection. And just a few weeks ago, we got a call and a connection that we were able to make from a group that really hasn't been used to working with Christians. That's a very ultra-Orthodox group, very highly connected in the Israeli government, and it gets on me again. They opened their doors to us, and we are sponsoring. They didn't have the money. We are paying for a plane load of Jews from France to come home to Israel. And we're paying to help their support for that first year, the support that this organization gives. And because of that, they want to know more about us. They check us out too. Believe me, they check us out. What is our ulterior motive? And our ulterior motive, do we have one? Absolutely. And it is just to love them. Our ulterior motive is not to pressure them or change them, but to love them and to point to them, to the book, and say, go to the book. Stick with the book. God is faithful to you. God has a promise for you. God has a plan for you. And stay with him. Stay with him. Stay with him. And as we tell them that, they are shocked and amazed, and they are receiving us and our love.
I just wanted you all to know that you're fulfilling Bible prophecy with this money to go towards Aliyah. I looked this morning, there's 64 scriptures about Aliyah. It's a new word to a lot of Christians. They don't know what Aliyah is, but it's not a new word to the Lord, and it's not a new idea. And You can look in Isaiah 49. It actually, I was reading and I got all choked up reading it, because it says that God's going to raise up a signal. And he's basically like, he's going to signal the nations that now is the time that the Jews need to come home. And it says they, meaning the nations, will bring your sons and daughters back from afar. And that's you.
Now, here's the beauty of that. We are Christian people, but it calls us the, in that context, it's the nation. So I'm holding fast to this, that as American citizens, we are doing this and holding fast to the blessing before the Lord and saying, I'm expecting help in my nation. I'm expecting help in our government. I'm expecting help in my state and my city. I'm expecting the blessing of the Lord to help get involved in this and get America on the right side of things and stay on the right side of these things, especially as we see the day approaching. So we have Kenneth Copeland Bible College. Our Israel class is a cut above all others. It's an amazing class. So many Arab countries are actually buying out Middle Eastern departments in our major universities. They have bought them out at some of our top universities. Many of them are owned by money from Saudi Arabia and other countries like that, which then teach those American students how to be activists against Israel. And so to have a class that teaches the truth from the Word of God and helps keep us on the right side of things, and CUFI, Daughters for Zion, USA Israel Club, your dollars, your faith, your money, your heart is on the right side of God's promise, so that we have a right to stand and say, no, Lord, we are blessing Israel.
Amen.
Something else that I sprung on Pastor Terry this morning during first service is that there's a Jerusalem prayer breakfast that Pastor Terry and I have attended in the past. They have it annually in Jerusalem, and it's Christians and Jews coming together to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And typically, like when people are asked to speak at that, it's like you have 60 seconds to pray, max 2 minutes. They get them up, they get them off. Well, I just found out last evening that they would like our very own Pastor Terry Copeland Pearson's to record a 10-minute message to speak in front of the Israeli Knesset, Jewish rabbis, and world leaders from around the world who will be joining virtually.
My goodness, this is many countries send diplomats and representatives to that prayer breakfast. It's no small thing. And so I'm very thankful. And Michelle Bachman is on the board. And that's a blessing, too. So what an honor to be a part of that.
Praise God. What a great report. That's what you're involved in. That's what you're doing. Eagle Mountain International Church, KCM, KCBC, we stand for Israel.
Yes,
praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.